There we are. We're recording.
Now we're recording. Hey, how are you, Art?
Hey, a little tired.
Tired? you're so weak. You're a weakling.
Weakling. And we had to work for 15 minutes last night, and I'm tired out.
I know. Hey, thanks for stopping by. Stop me if I've heard this. Art and I are both, it's a Sunday. We're doing this on Sunday. And both of us got home. It wasn't late. But I felt like a comic driving home again.
Yeah, right. Leaving a gig and getting in your car.
And just, you know, driving with no traffic and it's nighttime and you just did a gig. And
yeah,
God,
it felt
really good. It did feel really good.
I felt more like a comic as I was driving home than I was on stage.
But yes,
because the weirdest show I've ever done. I have to say that might be the weirdest single show I've done. A show on a bus, taking a busload of people to ride a day cruise.
You think a bus? Did you do the train? Did you ever do the train?
I did the Mount Hood Railroad.
Yeah, that's
where you're like
pretty
trying
weird.
To steady yourself the whole time because you're about to fall over. It's just
anytime you're doing
around.
And you're entrapped on a vehicle. Like a boat or a train or anything.
Yeah.
It's weird because you can't get away. So if you have a bad show, you're dead in the water there.
You're
pal.
Just you're... like listening to a bunch of people going, well, I liked it.
Right? Or people go, well, she just had a bad night. Or she was terrible.
Boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to hear it tough crowd. Ooh, tough crowd.
Yeah, oh, they're never that nice with mine. Anyway.
So we did a show for a fundraiser for the Multnomah County Democrats, the one we've been talking about, and it's very interesting. It was really...
I thought, as I was coming home last night, I was impressed. I was impressed the way that they pulled it off.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how they were going to do it. So you want to explain how they did it?
Yeah, right. They had all the cars, like a drive-in theater, facing in the parking lot of the office there. And Siri thought I was talking to her for some reason there.
She's lonely. Siri's lonely. You've been neglecting her.
And then they had a brightly lit stage, and they had a camera aimed at us so that they could project it on a big screen so the cars didn't have to necessarily all see us. Which is good. I'm glad they thought that one through. Because when I got there, I thought, oh, God, we're screwed. Nobody can see us. So they could see us on the big screen. And I say big screen, I mean a medium screen. It could have been a little bigger.
It was big for the... It was right size for the parking lot.
Yeah.
I thought.
And they could hear us.
That was interesting. Tell them how they heard us. Though.
Yeah,
that was
it was
amazing.
Like some kind of a radio frequency that only broadcasts like right in that area.
It was an FM. It was an FM station.
Well, but my... wife tried to get the FM station. She tuned in, like, our house is only 5 minutes away, if that, and she couldn't get the signal here on 87.
Yeah, probably was just right in the area, but I noticed that, so that was pretty, I was pretty impressed.
So that was a good plan, and the sound was good, and it was in
all
their cars.
And they streamed it also on Zoom.
Uh-huh.
They streamed it on Zoom. They were streaming the show from the camera.
Yeah.
So that was a live stream. Our friend, our buddy Donna saw it on that. And I really just froze. But here's the thing about it is that I told you when we started out, I thought they were going to flash their lights to laugh or to, applaud, basically applaud. They honked.
They honked. Beep, 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 beep.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm not good with that. I am not good with that at all. For some reason, I jerked every single time they honked. I was like,
Because the cars were right next to the stage, like 10 feet from us.
Well, yeah. Anybody just shoves it in gear or turns on their engine, shoves it in gear, we're in trouble. But, it was amazing.
Yeah, that's a little intimidating.
Working to SUVs up front. Yeah, thank you.
I took a picture from on stage, and there was so much glare, all you could see were like two or three headlights, and then just a cloudy kind of You could see anything beyond that.
Oh, you couldn't, yeah, you couldn't take, yeah, because you had the lights shining right in your camera. That was the problem,
right.
too. But it was interesting, and
yeah.
I realized that when I was talking to the audience and laughing about, let's hear it for the Priuses, and, you know,
uh-huh.
the Priuses started honking and stuff. But I would say something on stage, and I'd get a honk, but I could hear a honk like 3 blocks away. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
They were hearing it. I heard honks down the street.
Oh.
They weren't just, yeah, it was weird. And people actually heard it too. The people in front were going, "That's hysterical." I go, "Did you hear how far that way that was?"
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah.
And they, you know, and it was right on, and I did it a couple times ago. If you're a block, are you down at Wendy's getting your dinner? Honk, honk. You know, this kind of thing. I went, oh, my God, that's like 3 blocks away.
Wow.
But anyway, so.
Yeah, no, the neighbors must just love that 3-hour show. Just
it was a ways. It was, yeah.
There's a residential neighborhood like right behind it. So
yeah.
All night long, they got to hear beep, 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 beep.
10:30, yeah, it was over at 10:30. But I thought we would go later than that. I did.
Yeah, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. I didn't really think they needed to do 2 speakers in between each comic. You know, either make it a comedy night. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. They did raise all the money they needed to, and that's the most important
thing.
Yeah,
they raised money,
I
don't know
local.
If a whole lot of policy was talked about.
Yeah.
We heard the Rosen. What's her name? Is it Rosenblum? The AG, Oregon AG. She was interesting. She's got an opponent. She's running. She has run before unopposed, but this time she's got 2 opponents. And the one that's getting some votes or getting some headway isn't even a lawyer. Did
right.
you hear that? He's not even a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he's a convicted felon.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
I'm thinking, can you run for attorney general and not be a lawyer?
That's
I
the country
so.
We live in right now, isn't it?
They
see William Barr and they're like, well, I guess anything goes, right?
Evidently.
Yeah.
I thought you couldn't even vote if you were a felon, but that.
Well, yeah, and
wrong.
So they would say
maybe
like
I'm wrong.
The candidates would get up in between us, and they would try to kind of be funny, but it wouldn't work because their jokes would be like, "Hey, this guy's running for office. That's my joke, is that he's running for against me." You know, and the audience, you know, I don't think really was that.
Well, some of them were kind of nice. They would honk and stuff.
They would honk
support
because
them.
In support
they're being supportive
of what they're
yeah.
saying. Like one of them was a teacher, a young 26-year-old teacher, and he made some comment about the teacher. No, Nathan got up and talked about being a teacher, and I realized what hard work it is. Beep, 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 you know, which is basically, you know, of course that crowd, liberal Democrats are going to support the fact that he's a teacher. And so, you know, I didn't have anything like
that to say. We should have brought our pro. We always are like, 10 steps behind. I was thinking we should have brought our recorder. Yeah, and recorded, like, just interviewed Nathan for a minute and Amanda. You know, we should have, why didn't we do that? That was so dumb. We didn't even mention our podcast.
I just wanted to get it over with.
Did you mention the podcast?
No.
I didn't either.
No.
I got off stage and went, oh my God, this is so stupid, Susan.
Yeah.
You didn't even mention the goddamn podcast.
Yeah, that would have been a good place to mention
it. And it wasn't in our intros either.
Yeah,
and I don't know why, because I did
no,
put
they,
in my intro.
They read an intro of mine from a magazine from 1985.
Yeah. That's I know.
Okay.
My intro was her many television appearances. Like, yeah, in the 80s and the 90s. Yeah, I was on a lot of television shows back then, but not now.
Yeah. Mine was one of the best ever out of the Northwest, which is what Dwight said about me. He did the interview, and he called himself Haldon Thompson or something like that.
I remember that.
Yeah, and he called himself this pseudonym and then did the interview and then wrote it up in this weekly magazine that lasted about a week. And,
I remember entertaining.
It was like 3 issues
of it.
In that magazine, somehow, Ended up in my promo
made it onto
along
the internet. It's on the internet, though.
Yeah, if it's out on the internet, they'll find it. It's weird because they ask you to send promo, and see a send promo, and they don't even bother using it. They just go look for themselves.
No,
I don't. As long as everybody's happy, that's what I want
to. You know, I want to say
They didn't need what? Jokes in between. They didn't need the candidates to get up. They had this deal. What do you like better, French fries or tater tots? And they thought that would be funny and entertaining, and it wasn't. Of course it wasn't. They go, well, I don't know. I guess I'm more of a tater tots. It's like, what, really? This is a 3-hour show. Do you need more filler at this point? Do you need
stretch? No, I thought that was interesting. I thought they should have asked some questions. I mean, I thought it was going to be more about policies.
Yeah, they should have had an interview.
Bring into the table, but right. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't the case. But that's okay. They ran it. I was impressed
all
by the technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a fine job of pulling it off and making some decent money to pay for candidates.
And I appreciate being asked because I was, you know how trepidatious I was about it.
Me too.
Because both of us were, but everybody wore masks backstage. People did social distance a couple times. I had to go step back from a couple people. And but just, you know, make sure. And they were really adamant about the mic and how they were going to do the mic and how, you know, that there would be, you know, three different mics and one would be on stage with somebody and then you'd bring that mic off and the new person would go up with a clean mic and that kind of stuff. And they were being very, very careful. The bathrooms, they had the bathrooms open over in their offices, and there was a person there that went in, and after each person went in and wiped it down and sterilized it, and then the next person would go in. I thought that was really
I never went to the bathroom.
I got there a lot earlier than you did because I needed to look at the stage to make a determination whether I was going to be able to do it or not.
Yeah, right.
If I couldn't get on that stage, there wasn't any use me doing even being there. Mm-hmm. I told them, you know, but they listened to what I had to say. And I appreciated that because they did have steps with hand railings.
Yep.
And I was able to do it. It was awkward, but,
And you did a fine job, too. Can I say really, they locked into you. You know, you were.
I was the last one on. They just wanted to get the hell out.
You didn't. No, I don't think so. Yeah, there was a couple of people that thought it was a flea market, and then they just got trapped.
That was so funny when you said that. That was so.
Well, you're in the front row, aren't you? Hope you like this.
Oh God, you said it's like working to a flea market. I thought I was gonna die laughing. Yeah. That was so funny. Yeah.
But you rocked it. I thought you looked, you didn't look rusty at all.
I froze.
First 2 minutes, each of us kind of went, because the lights, you couldn't hear, you couldn't see. You'd do a joke, and you couldn't, I think they laughed. I'll just keep going, you know?
Well, you know, I think doing that Zoom show that I had this last week helped me realize I can't wait for the laughs. I just have to do the joke and move on, you know? And because I can't, you know, because that Zoom show that I did, like three people turned their cameras on. So I'm just working to pictures of people that were supposed to be at this Zoom show probably because it was part of their job. You know,
I would have been better really with there. Pictures of people in the window, anything other than just windshields. You do your joke and you're like, this is like practice. This is like a practice set.
Well, you know? It was like an open mic with you know, with grill work.
With no humans. You know? The machines have taken over the planet and they wish you to perform.
I'm seeking approval from a Toyota Duracell. I know. Crazy. It was crazy. But I got that first line out because we were laughing about the first line that I had. And I was so excited about doing it. And I was so afraid I was going to screw it up. And I got my first line out. And then I went completely blank.
Oh, I got one line out. Are you guys good?
I was just like, okay.
Is that going to do you?
Okay. And then I just went completely blank. And I actually pulled my phone out to look at my notes. And of course, I have a million notes on this damn phone.
Yeah.
And to find the one I wanted, it didn't go sequentially, which the last edited note didn't pop up.
Right.
You know, the most recent one. It starts like, you know, at the beginning. And I'm going, oh, my God, I can't go through all this to find the damn note.
Oh, God, no.
I was so mad. I got to figure out how to do that. But I
You just edit it. You just add a space or a dot at the end of one of the sentences, and then it moves it up to the top of the queue.
Well, I had written out a whole set list, and I had it. And anyway, I was so mad. But then I just went, okay, just do what you think. Okay, I remember this bit. Okay, I remember that bit. So it wasn't as...
And you changed one key word in that bit you came up with, which was so brilliant. In the car, you just said, boy, I hope this is worth fucking up my unemployment for this week, which I thought was... God, you got to use that. But what you changed it to was, I hope this doesn't fuck up, screw up my unemployment this week.
No. Did I? Yeah. I thought I said, did I?
He said, I hope this doesn't screw up my unemployment this week, which is different. I hope it's worth screwing up.
I hope this is worth screwing up my unemployment for this week. That's what I thought I said.
Yeah,
but if I didn't, that really makes me mad because I was so looking. I know it was a great line.
So funny. But you were in the car going, "Don't say fuck! Don't say fuck! Don't say fuck! Fuck!
Don't say fuck! Don't say fuck! Don't say." Now that was my mantra: "Don't say fuck! Don't say fuck! Don't say fuck! Don't say fuck!" I said shit though. I did say shit.
You know what? Amanda broke that barrier. She was first up, and she said shit. Mm-hmm. So then I thought, well, I'm going to do my food joke, you know, the salad or whatever. I say shit. I say shit, 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 shit. I say it once. And that's, it.
Sometimes the only word you can use. It's just sometimes you it's just.
There's still a good premise there. It doesn't need that word, but I like it better that way. And, you know, I talk that way in real life, so it's not like I'm being phony.
I know it. I really, if you can't handle the word shit, really?
Yeah.
You're walking around and you can't handle that word.
Well, I know Dave Anderson used to do shit, say shit at corporate gigs. I saw him do it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. But you can't say fuck. You can't say fuck.
Say fuck. Can't say fuck.
And it was also in my head that it was live streaming. So not only did we have these wall of machines asking us to perform for them, we had in my mind. I thought, well, there's people that I know right now that are listening in and they can see my face and they can see the horror, the deer in the headlights look when I first...
I think you felt that way, but you didn't portray that.
I think we've gotten to a place now where we can at least fake it until we make it kind of...
You didn't portray that. I was standing right in front of you. You didn't portray that
but
at
it
all.
Wasn't smooth.
I knew
either.
You
there
were
was
nervous
a lot of,
because and you were right, that stage was small.
Yeah,
I was tiny. Like, okay, find the edge, Suze.
What bits can't I do? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if anybody else is interested in this comedian's perspective of this.
I know, but this is silly.
We had to talk about it because
we had a good time.
It was a lot of firsts last night.
Well, it felt like it just felt good to get out and do something and you know, just we've had such a crap week. I loved SNL last night so much. Did you see? I saw
I
it this morning.
It. Yeah.
I didn't see it last night. I saw it this morning. Ah. Oh, my God. And I love the opening where they give you the, you know, the breakdown. Last Tuesday, which seems like 100 days ago.
I know.
Exactly. I thought Jim Carrey was amazing as
oh,
as
yeah. He really did a good job.
He brought it.
Yeah. He looked like him. I think they did some makeup on his eyes. So that he had Biden's kind of eyes, unless that's just how he is naturally.
I don't know. He's just, he
did the best Biden of all the ones they've had do Biden so far. He's the
best. He was just great.
Yeah. That's going to be
good. And Alex was funny, Rudolph. Maya Rudolph was amazing she was great.
As Kamala.
As Kamala. And she's
awesome. Yeah, she's so funny, whatever she does.
I think y'all need a VIP. Is it, was it VIP? It was a, no, woman, no, it was WAP. It was WAP, not WVIP. You need a WAP. Women as president. I love that. Yeah. That was great. Yeah.
Mamala. She keeps calling herself Mamala.
Mamala.
To those guys. You boys need Mamala to tell you a couple of things.
It was
she's awesome. Yeah.
It was very, very well done.
It does feel like 100 years ago. You know, I did that bit about the debate, which you know,
yeah,
kind of worked. Hard to say if it would have worked or not, but it felt like 3 days later or 4 days later.
We can't keep up.
It felt like dated. It felt like a million years ago because, you know, he was in the hospital by then. And, you know, we all kind of dealt with it for a day or two. And then the way news is now, 1 or 2 days into it, it's a whole new ball game. There's a whole new
one. Not even that
thing they're talking
hours.
About.
It's hours now. It's not even it's unbelievable how fast things are moving. And you, can you imagine being a writer on Bill Maher's show or Daily Show or any of the, or even Stephen Colbert.
Right.
Within 10 minutes, it's passé. It's been exploded on the internet.
Yeah.
Comics have weighed in and it's just like, and then the next, here comes the next train coming, you know?
Yeah.
And it
kind of happened within SNL's opening sketch about the debate too. By then that was the day that Trump was in the hospital. And by then,
he declared himself a miracle. He declared himself a miracle.
Did he?
Yeah.
Of course he did.
He's a miracle. Yes, you are a miracle because nobody is like you because you are the fucking devil.
Everything I've heard is that 7 days into it, that's when you really find out what your immune system's going to do to you.
That well, he thinks he's coming home tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That guy that
and those doctors cannot tell the life.
No.
The doctors.
The guy they got, man, that guy with the clip on hair. That they get up in front of the microphone, just keeps shaking his head and smiling. He looks like about three or four other really arrogant doctors that I've had over the years. Right. Usually the men that just have this kind of dismissive attitude, like, oh, you don't get this. Let me explain. You know, he has that attitude. Everything's just fine. And he just strikes me as that guy. He's lobbying for either a job on Fox News or a cabinet position for Trump because he is such a sycophant. It's just painful.
It is. He's just, and he can't tell the truth, but he can't tell a lie well either. Yeah. He's not lying well.
No.
You know, one of the questions that cracked me up was when they said, so President Trump oxygen level dipped down in the 90s. And his answer was, no, the president's oxygen level has not dipped down to the high 80s. Wait a minute.
Yeah, right.
Excuse me? And basically, he also intimated that Trump is either pre-diabetic or diabetic.
Oh, I missed that part, I guess. Oh. Yeah.
It's you know, they were talking about any pre-existing conditions because he's 70, well, he's 70, he's 76 or 74 years old.
He loves his Big Macs, yes. So
and
there's
he's
a shocker.
You know, and he doesn't eat well, and he's you know he's he plays golf. Well, he plays golf with a cart. He doesn't walk the course.
Yeah, right. He hops out. You know, has someone hand him a club.
Yeah, and then he walks over and hits the ball and gets back in the cart and drives. And so, but. It's so hard to get a read.
I can't in my heart of hearts actually wish for him to die from COVID. I can't make myself go there.
Here is where you and I differ.
You know, as many people have died because of his being himself, right. I still can't let myself wish someone to die. Here's what I wouldn't mind though. Wouldn't bother me if he had to roll an oxygen tank next to him the rest of his presidency. That wouldn't bother me one little bit.
Well, what pisses me off is that they think he was infected at the debates and prior to the debates.
Right.
And because seven of those people in the Rose Garden tested positive.
Yeah.
That's just now.
And he was, I guess, feeling a little punky too, is what they're
And the word is. He went to Minnesota. He was probably sick in Minnesota.
Right.
And then the fact of the matter is that he went and did New Jersey.
Yeah.
And they did, I mean, he's done all this stuff and put all these people in harm's way. It's
right.
In harm's way.
Yeah, because he can't not look strong, you know, any chink in the armor.
And his whole family sitting there at that debate with no masks on.
Oh, and just everything I heard about it from one of the people that were there talked about how careful everybody was being, distancing and wearing their masks and just being, you know, checking their temps. And then his entourage, he and his family and his sycophants all come swanning in with no masks, just the most arrogant people on earth, like the
waving
king of
off.
Egypt.
They were offered, make way
for us. We are here. And no masks, you know. Come on. It's just beyond arrogant.
And they waved him off. They said, no, we don't want him. We don't want him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you're okay. So here's what I say then. Maybe when you get your hospital bill, how about the U.S. doesn't pick up that bill? How about that?
Right, yeah.
We don't pick up that hospital bill. That would be nice if we didn't have to pay for that shit because waved it off.
Right. It would be nice, but that ain't going to happen. My only hope with this is that some of the senators, the Republican senators, will continue to be sick long enough that it stalls the Supreme Court nomination.
Exactly. Well, here's the other thing
small
that I've
that might help.
I heard about is that this when you start thinking about the fact that he went to the hospital, the United States right now is a sitting duck. We are vulnerable.
You think we're a sitting duck? That might be overstating it, don't you think?
No, I don't think so. I think the problem is that I think the world and our enemies view this as there's no leadership right now. And little did they know, there hasn't been any leadership
for 4 years. Yeah, what's new?
What's new? But there's stuff happening on the coast that they're doing flyovers, you know, and stuff like that, that are, you know, looking for any kind of action on China's part or anybody else. And China's made some moves. They've made some moves. So it's,
yeah,
you know, it's a very precarious situation. Not that I think, you know, he could even handle it, but I think, I think before this whole thing's over in January, he's going to start some shit. Something's going to go down.
Yeah.
And he's got China in his, you know, in his crosshairs. And why don't you pick on a smaller nation? Because they could kick our ass, you know?
Right. Yeah. You know, that could get really, really ugly. Sorry.
And Xi's not stupid. He's smart. So he's not, I mean, he's anyway. And I love how they're still I just was watching this, one of his top aides, his campaign manager now has COVID.
Oh, yeah. Right. I saw that. Yeah.
The other one tried to commit suicide. This one's got COVID.
Yeah.
And he's got a top aide, campaign aide, who's doing all these public appearances.
Didn't Kellyanne Conway has it? And
yeah.
Kylie McEnany?
Oh, good. She's got it? Oh, good. That's good.
I believe that's right. I mean...
Yeah, no. The press secretary, yeah, I think she's probably got it. And then another one of the, the thing about it is the West Wing, there's so many people there.
Right.
And they really obviously it hasn't, it's running rampant in the White House. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, I mean, how long has this been going on?
And people have been taking this stuff home to their parents and to their kids and to the, you know, it's like. He's just got no regard. Sorry, he's got no regard. So anyway, what else should we have? Do you have a funny story? I don't have a funny story. Do I have a funny story? I don't think I do. Anyway, it's been a hell of a week, and we know everybody's feeling it. And trying to get, are you going to get a flu shot?
Oh, for sure. I always do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to make sure I'm okay.
I'm going to get two. I'm going
to load me up.
I'm going to get the China flu shot, and then I'm going to get the Asian flu shot. Then I'm
one
get...
for every country.
Yeah.
Bird flu, gotta... swine flu.
Yeah. What do you got for Malaysia? You have the Malaysia flu shot?
Because I'll take that one too. Northern European strains yet? I just want them all. Come on. I want my arm to look like polka dots. I want to look like a junkie by the time I'm ready for cold and flu season.
I just feel like I'm hoping we don't get shut down, but
I don't know what's going to happen now. It's just, I've never felt more like just life is in limbo than it is right now.
Yeah. Chris Rock was very good last night too when he said that.
Yeah, he's great. About it. Yeah, he was good.
Because remember, remember when we had shit, planned. We were planning shit. We had shit.
You know what I miss? Murder Basket. Hornets. Remember when that's what we had to worry about?
I know. Do you know? I think my neighbor had one.
Had a murder hornet?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. He took a picture of it. It was huge.
Oh well.
Or a monster. What's the monster one? Whatever the monster something. Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah,
it
right.
wasn't a June bug either, because I know what a June bug looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was ugly and huge.
And mean.
Yeah. And I think it was. I think it
and
was.
Lazy.
Lazy. Is it lazy? Lazy.
That's the only reason it didn't sting me.
Yeah. He just couldn't be bothered. Anyway, so I long for the day when, you know, we bitch about stuff.
Yeah. God, I miss all that. Just, you know, worrying about stuff that...
Simple stuff.
Well, you know, before this started, honestly, I remember hearing about pandemic possibilities, swine flu, bird flu, and you would kind of think about it, and it would be in the news for a little bit, and you'd kind of worry, and then it would go away because they would take care of it, you know?
Yeah, like that. Remember Ebola? The Ebola?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ebola.
That was scary.
He handled it.
God,
he said, no, that is not leaving that country.
I really think that Trump thought somehow this would help him if he could be. Because in the beginning, remember how he was talking about how this is a war and he's a general, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, guess what? Beach just got invaded hours. And so, they are occupying us.
What else was I was going to ask you about? Michael Moore. Michael Moore floated a conspiracy theory too. That did you see all that on Facebook? How people were saying that he didn't have it.
Oh, all kinds of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. I thought, well, okay, but all those people around him have it. So
right,
there's a real good possibility he has it.
That he actually does. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost too good to be true.
Yeah. I know.
But then when
I started hearing about how many other people were catching it, and I was like, Christmas morning, it's like, oh, here's a package I didn't find behind the tree.
That's,
oh, look at this. Chris Christie. How about that? What a shame.
Oh, that man, I know. Do you know how mad George Stephanopoulos and all those people that were sitting on that panel during the debates must have been?
Oh,
they
right.
must have been furious with him.
As they
how
should
How dare
be.
He?
Yeah.
How dare he? He knew.
Yeah.
He knew.
Yeah, right, absolutely. And those reporters don't have a choice in the matter.
No.
Where they sit, they don't get to choose whether or not to cover something. They don't get it to opt out. If they've just got to go do their job and hope that it's going to be safe.
I mean, granted, on that panel for ABC News, you know, that George Stephanopoulos was anchoring for the debate.
Right.
They were separated, but they weren't 6 feet apart, and
right.
they weren't masked. They weren't masked up.
Do you think they weren't 6 feet apart?
They weren't 6 feet apart.
Hard to tell with the cameras.
In a studio like that, that's too much room. The cameras, it'd be too hard to. I think they were probably five or four and a half, but they were separated, but they weren't 6 to 8 feet apart.
Yeah, and the next one's supposed to be a town hall debate too, so there's going to be a room full of people. All having this sea lion bellowing at them. all the way through an hour and a half.
Yeah, I think that I don't think there's going to be one.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I don't think he's going to be okay enough in time.
I don't think so.
And I don't think observed protocol either. They proved they didn't last time, and they won't want to this time either. How much longer can they keep pretending that this isn't real? I mean,
well, you know what scares me is that
this isn't an IV drip. This is my Halloween costume.
Yeah, they keep minimizing this whole thing, and there's a bunch of kids that are in college right now that you can't, you know, they're partying.
And
it just telegraphs to them that it's just not that important. And here he has an opportunity to save some lives by, you know, by walking back his rhetoric.
Yeah.
And he won't do it. He'll never apologize. He'll never say he's sorry. He's never going to say anything like that ever.
Oh, no.
And these kids are dying. Yeah. There's kids, you know, in colleges that are sick and dying.
Yeah, right.
Because they're kids, and they want to have the college experience. So they're drinking beer and hanging out and hitting on people.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame them. That's your time in life to do that kind of stuff. And I understand the desire to live that kind of life.
But they just can't.
I'm afraid they can't do it. They can't. They just can't do.
It's so scary because
it makes me nervous that if he recovers quickly from this, at least, and all, you know, they make it seem like he's recovered quickly.
Yeah, it's going to be a shit
show. That he's going to go, see, you know, this thing was so overblown, you know,
exactly.
All along. It's just coronavirus. I got it. I'm fine. Look at all my staff's fine. All you got to do is you go to the most expensive hospital in the country and get people from all around the world, surgeons, doctors from all around the world, a team of doctors all working on you and giving you special cocktails of, you know, make sure you get your remdesivir. What is it, remdesivir? Yeah.
You know, this is the only good thing that's coming out of this is that they're using Trump as a guinea pig.
I know, right?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I'm thinking, well, you're finally doing your job. You're trying. Let's just test shit on him. Get the bleach. Yeah. Come on.
Somebody got a bottle of Clorox in the basement.
We'll do a little small doses.
Let's go in the janitor's closet and see what we can find.
What else have we got in there? But I mean,
just get a 5-gallon bucket and start stirring stuff together.
It's the first thing I thought of when they said he's trying these experimental drugs. I thought, well, finally he's doing something for his goddamn country.
Yeah, really?
He's just being a guinea pig. Perfect. I can't think of it happening to anybody better.
Yeah, a lot of other experiments we could do, too, now that you're, as long as you got the hood up, let's just see what we can work on.
You know, I was laughing because, you know, how we scroll through stuff to look for, you know, we look on the internet all the time and we're reading stuff all the time. And it makes me laugh because I go through in the first five or six, like I'll be on MSN or I'll be on something and there'll be you know, news stories. And then there's still those little, I guess it's clickbait. They call it clickbait.
Yeah, right.
Or those articles that say, you know, the most sought after Christmas gifts are running out fast or something like that. Or this is
right.
What you're going to want to buy. I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to see you're optimistic. But
no.
Is there going to be Christmas? I don't think there's going to be Christmas.
It's like car ads these days. Who's looking into getting a new car right now?
I know. You know? I know. I was looking at this morning just for fun because you just get so tired of looking at the news. I was watching these ultra modern cars that they're showing. You know, these hybrid, you know, special electric or whatever it is, and they have all these cars that where the doors just swing way up high, you know, on a hinge, and I'm thinking, okay, but what if your garage isn't that tall, you know, where your whole door and the whole side of your car go up? I think, well, you know, I guess you'd have to be a multimillionaire to buy these cars, but
I suppose
some of them were pretty cool. One of them expands out it for road when you want to drive on the road for, you know, long distance,
oh.
it elongates. So you can get more stuff in the back of it. It kind of looks like it kind of in the it's like a low SUV. It's not up high. And then it's
and it
got,
actually grows when it's out on
yeah,
the road.
Yeah, it kind of grows. The front of it kind of grows out.
Well, I can't wait to see the ads for this. They're going to advertise on Playboy Channel then.
Yeah. Well, that's isn't that where you go every night? Anyway, isn't that your go-to channel? Anyway, yeah, it's, yeah, it grows.
I mean, and come then, on, an SUV yeah. that grows bigger. Tell yeah, me that like wasn't deliberate.
Oh, it's totally a man car. Oh my God.
Totally a man car. Look at this. Look, I got this special feature. Let me just show you.
Yeah, the other and they were justifying this extravagance by saying the paneling and the floorboards are made from recycled yogurt cups.
What? Is that a good thing?
Prove it. Okay, prove that. I want to prove this shit. Anyway, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Smells like strawberry banana in here. if you left it out in the sun too long.
Exactly. One of them has a panel that you get in. The door doesn't swing up on a hinge. It goes up over the car, kind of like I can't explain it, but it kind of goes up over the car, kind of like a DeLorean, okay? That DeLorean door that goes up like that.
Yeah.
No, and then you can, there's like a back seat for the chauffeur, so you can sit back like in this wonderful little massage chair kind of a thing with surround sound speakers in around the neck of
an
you.
An automatic grape feeder that puts grapes in your mouths.
No, but you're really close. God. There's an express. You on the dashboard right next to your seat, because you don't have, the driver is on the other side and you're walled off from the driver altogether. And you can flip up this part of the console on the side, and there's an espresso maker.
Wow.
Yeah, with an automatic espresso maker there. And it's like, really? And then you can put your phone on the dashboard and I don't know how it does it, but it syncs. It kind of syncs in, and it charges your phone, and it can read your messages to you. Don't ask. I don't know how it works.
Okay, all right.
But it was fascinating. I'm gonna send you the link because you'll love seeing all this stuff. It's really amazing.
Right.
And that's what I looked at this morning because I just couldn't bring myself to one more COVID story, and I was gonna just explode.
Yeah, you know? You have to really search around to find something upbeat.
Something funny.
Something funny. You got to get HBO and watch Ted Lasso with... God, my brain's not working this morning.
I know. That's The Daily Beast. This is a headline from The Daily Beast. And it's asterisk, so it's not completely, you know, the word. It's just fuck up after fuck up. Trump's COVID advisors at their breaking point. that's their headline. That's a headline. Can you imagine our folks reading a headline like that? And then, my mother would absolutely twist herself into a knot. That would just be.
Almighty.
So,
well,
it's trying to find anything good. You just can't find anything good.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
Sure
was nice to see you, though, last night.
Yeah, it was nice to see you. Just a human face, and Amanda and Nathan.
Yeah.
See,
they did great jobs, too. They did great jobs. So.
Right. Yeah, it was a very pleasant, very pleasant evening.
I hope they made some money. I'm planning on cashing my check, though.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I feel like we paid for it. My gut, I almost didn't make it to the show, to be honest, because my stomach was so torn up. I had this kind of Indian food from Trader Joe's, the microwave, and it was a little too spicy and a little too oily. And honestly, I felt like, so I'm really not in any shape. I don't feel good. Something's wrong. I was taking my temperature and everything. I thought, God, do I need to go to the ER? I mean, that's how bad it felt.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I almost I almost called Michael and said, look, I don't think I can do this. And then I took some Pepto-Bismol. I kept drinking water and took some Pepto-Bismol, which I have never take. And it helped calm everything down. And then, you know,
oh,
what?
Good.
Getting to
you
the
know
show,
what does then.
You get to the show, and oftentimes, whatever's ailing you just sort of goes back on the back shelf.
It does. It does. My knee
thing.
Didn't hurt. My knee did not hurt.
Right.
But I got back in the car on the way home and went, oh, damn, it hurts.
Like, what were you doing to me?
Yeah. That. Yeah. But you're right. It was like you just kind of block that out and go, okay, well, here we go.
Yep.
I was.
We made it through. I'm going to cash the check. I feel like I need to.
I'm just saving.
Dave Anderson, always take the money. That's what
I know.
There's no excuse. Take the money.
I feel like a squirrel now. I'm just saving the nuts, you know, because I know something's coming. It's all going to hit the fan sooner or later. And I'm going to be standing there going, help me.
Help.
So, well, anyway, we've had fun.
We've had some laughs.
Thanks for.
I hope any of that was interesting to you guys to hear a comedian's perspective of what it's like literally to be deer in the headlights, only we're not deer.
I called my friend, our friend Susan Jones, on the way home, and I said, I feel like a comic. I actually felt like a comic for about an hour last night. And I went, it just felt good. Even just stepping up on the stage and grabbing a mic, it felt really good.
Right.
It just felt really good. And I thought, even when I froze and I panicked and I just went, oh, screw it. What do I remember? Okay, here we go. You know, and I'm thinking, I'll just start talking. And I didn't really hit my stride until until I had about 7 minutes left.
Right.
I didn't really feel like I was connecting until about 7 minutes left. But, you know, but it was fine. I had a good time.
Yeah.
I had a good time because, you know, I'm so glad we did it together.
Yeah, right. It's nice to have the emotional support.
That was great. Yeah, that was great. And we had something to talk about. So, anyway.
And I got some pictures. I'll put a couple of the pictures up. On our website.
Have yours too, but don't hate
podcast.
Me.
Oh, because they're from the side?
No, it's not really. It's just you kind of, it's just, it was so bright. It was so bright.
It was hard to get a good shot. Yeah, it really was.
Get a good shot. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, all right, you guys, have a good week. We will, we'll be back for Friday with Friday Funnies with the wonderful Travis Shear.
Yes. So looking forward to that.
He's coming on. He's very funny. He's got some great stories. And so we're going to have a good Friday afternoon happy hour show.
I hope this starts your week off well. All right. Have a good week, everybody.